Word. Turn. We're going to be in verse 1. John chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 1 through 5. You're going to get very familiar with the book of John over the next few months. We're going to start going through the book of John. It's going to be challenging. Today's challenging. We're going to start with John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Guys, I'll tell you before I start reading, this is foundational to our faith. So I hope you have a pen out, notebooks, take some notes. This is foundational to what we believe as followers of Christ. This is some of the most important verses in Scripture. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for Your Word, that we can dig in and we can learn about You. We can learn about who You are. We can learn about Your Son, Jesus, Father. This is foundational to what we believe, Father, so please just implant this Word in our minds and our hearts, Father, and let us not depart from this at any time, Lord. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, this is the start of us preaching through, teaching through the whole book of John. And John was given, wrote this book, and it was given to both the Jews and the Gentiles. There's a major theme that runs through the book of John. It's John's gospel, and the major theme is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is a book that focuses on the ministry of Jesus. It was written approximately in 90 AD. It is the last of the four Gospels. Matthew and Mark were primarily written towards Jewish audiences, but John wrote this book for everybody. Not that Matthew and Mark weren't wrote for everybody too, but they were primarily wrote and have a Jewish flavor, I guess, to it. This details 50 years of church history. The Gospel of John screams about the faith that we should have in Christ. There are seven different miracles that are written in this book. It's all often we tell brand new followers of Christ, just like John, wherever John's at in here, speaking to John, to start with the book of John, to start reading the book of John. That should be your first book that you read when you become new followers of Christ. And you may ask yourself, well, why do we do that? Because we need to learn to love Christ the way John tells us to in the book of John. Before we can focus on anybody else or trying to reach anybody else, we have to understand who God is and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to love Him. So it has to start there. And we have to have an understanding. And this is one of the key verses as we start going through here. And if you come on Wednesday night, that cults and the lost will attack this doctrine right here in the book of John. So this is foundational to what we believe. It's foundational for what we believe, and that's why it's so important. So if we start here in John chapter 1, 1 through 5, the first thing here is it talks about in the beginning. Genesis, just like we talked this morning in Sunday school, we talked about creation, it also starts in the beginning. And so there are questions that we just don't have answers to because we are not God, but this is talking about that God was the creator of time. This is the very beginning, in the beginning. And what does it say? That Jesus was there. This doctrine here in these first four verses is that Christ always existed. That's foundational to what we believe, that Christ was there in the beginning, and that is foundational to our faith. And that is something that gets attacked a lot. It can get attacked very, we think, easily, but not really. But turn to Colossians chapter 1. I want to read you these verses. These verses are distorted by all sorts of different cults. One in particular that we're talking about, Colossians chapter 1, go to verse 15. This set of verses talk about Jesus being in the beginning and creating everything. So it's important to understand who Jesus is. So 15 through 18, let's read those. This is what it says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. All right, so what does that mean? You may, the first question you may ask is, well, hold on now. This says it says he's firstborn. Now, that may raise a serious question. And cults, if you're not a believer, you will start to question that. Okay, well, Jesus was firstborn. That means that Jesus was created, right? And you'll start, but I want to make sure we cover this. Firstborn in Scripture has two different meanings. A firstborn could be speaking about your family, your firstborn child. Like Sierra is our firstborn. So she was created, she's our firstborn child. But it also means in Scripture the first rank or first importance. And you see this in Psalms chapter 89. Psalms chapter 89, verses 20 and 27, when they're talking about David, when it says, I have found David, my servant, and will make him firstborn. Well, we all know that David, King David, was not the firstborn of Jesse, was he? In fact, he was the youngest. He was the last. So firstborn has two meanings in Scripture. It can mean most important or first rank, as it's talked about in the context here in Colossians, or it can literally mean the firstborn of your family. So we have to understand that. We have to be able to defend that. There is a Greek word that is used for first created, and it wasn't used here. It wasn't used in Colossians because Jesus wasn't created. But cults such as Jehovah's Witnesses will add words here to this scripture to change the meaning of who Jesus is. All right, and here's what they do. Well, I'm going to give it away, but you still need to come Wednesday, okay? They add the word other four times there. There are two different Greek words for the word other. Paul didn't use either one of them in Colossians. But if you add the word other in verses 15 through 18 in Colossians, they add it four times, it changes who Jesus is. It says that Jesus was created. That's why they have to add the word other. Colossians 1, 15 through 18 tells us that Jesus was in the beginning and he created everything. So that we're talking about a different Jesus now. You see, that's why this is so important and for us to understand. Because there are people that worship a false god named Jesus. And they're putting their faith in a false god named Jesus. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. And it's not the Jesus of the Bible. So if you don't have this knowledge and you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness or you're talking to a Mormon, they're going to say Jesus a lot. And you're going to think, unless you know better, that, well, what? They're talking about the same guy. They're not talking about the same guy. They're talking about a Jesus that was created and that is a God, not the God. Right? So it's different. So it's important that we understand this. And Paul warns us in Scripture about people that will distort the gospel. He says in Galatians chapter 1:8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached, let him be accursed. That means if I teach something about Jesus that's not true and it's not the Jesus of Scripture, let me be cursed. And that happens. You have to understand, just because somebody says Jesus, they may not be referring to the Jesus in Scripture. It's very important that we understand. That we understand that I put my faith and my trust in the Jesus of the Bible and not some Jesus that I've made up to fit into my own personal life, right? I'll tell you guys, this great illustration here. This is a true thing. There is somebody out in our country that his name is Jeffrey Scott Mann, and he was born January 1st of 1980. And this guy has problems. You know how I know? Because every time I try to go and buy a firearm, I get put on a hold. And I've never committed a crime in my life. And they put me on a hold. And in fact, here about 2 months ago, I went to buy a firearm, and they denied me. So I had to go up to the Webster County Sheriff's Department and had fingerprints done, and I had to send it to the FBI. And they sent me back a number called a UPN number that said, okay, this is who you are. Now if I want to go buy a firearm, I give them my UPN number and they give me the firearm right there. So the FBI had to do some digging. Is this guy who he says he is? Or is he the other Jeffrey Scott man who's committed crimes? They even do that with the license. Right? I have issues every time I have to get my license renewed. I mean, it's a pain, right? So if you thinking that you pick up the phone and you're calling Jeffrey Scott Mann, you better make sure you have the right one, right? It's the same thing here. If I'm calling upon the name of Jesus to save me, I better make sure I have the right one. Or I got a counterfeit Jesus, and I got a counterfeit Jeff. So don't call any other Jeffrey Scott man, okay? Call me if you need to get a hold of me. But that's exactly what people do. They put their faith and trust in, I'm going to use his name a lot. I'm going to use Jesus a whole lot, but I'm never really going to dig into Scripture and find out who he really is. And that's why this is important, that we do that. John here also uses the reference that Jesus is the Word, that the Greek word is logos of God. Now, since John was writing here, and primarily a lot of Jews are going to read this, the word choice is intentional there. He did that for a reason, because the Jews also often referred to God as the Word. So that signifies authority. That signifies who Jesus is, that he is the Lord of creation, and he can assume that authority. Right? And so the clarification is that God always was and now has became flesh in Jesus. So it's essential that we understand that, that there's a deity there that he's talking about in Scripture, and you have to understand that. Now, this is only used when referring to God in Christ, which he is right here. So God was revealed to Abraham and his descendants as the supreme authority. And that's exactly what they're doing here in Scripture. Here the supreme authority is made flesh with the same eternal qualities. And Jesus is described in John here in a plural form as eternal. So it's two persons. So it's plural. We have to understand that, that they're describing the same. It's same God, different person. This is where the Trinity starts. We start learning about the Trinity. One God, three persons, right? Not multiple gods. Not multiple gods. So he was with God in the beginning. It's critical that we see there are two separate entities described by John here with the same authority, right? So the word here in Greek actually means face to face. So Jesus was in the beginning, was literally face to face with the creator of the universe. So John, turn to John chapter 10. And Jesus even teaches about this and never denies who he is. He never once denies that he is God. Never once does he. In fact, in John 10, 30 through 33, the Jews are going to stone him. This is what it says. John 10, 30 31 through 33. That's what it says. The Jews picked up some stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. From which one of these are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Now Jesus at that time didn't say, no, I'm not saying I'm God, right? He didn't say that. So Jesus claimed this, and they hated him for it, and they didn't believe him. So when we consider all that's written here and taught about Jesus, his place is critical there. So Jesus' deeds are the deeds of the Father. They have the same qualities, eternal and forever separate, but their authority cannot be questioned. They have a relationship with one another. They're on the same level, right? And we have to understand that, because if you don't believe that, listen to me, if you don't believe that this morning, you don't have saving faith in the Jesus of the Bible. You have to understand that. See, it's foundational to what we believe. All right, second thing here. Jesus' deity was emphasized here. I mean, it was important. His deity described is now emphasized. Go back to Colossians 1:16. It says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Hebrews 1:1-2, another verse. You can write these down, you can mark them down, you can turn, whichever, if I'm going too fast, but write them down. Hebrews 1:1-2, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. So what we talked about this morning in Sunday school, creation, it's essential. It's essential. It's foundational truth of our faith The first 11 chapters in Genesis are God's covenant. It's creation. Without it, we're left with misinformation about who God is. That's why John emphasizes this. John says, without him, nothing was made that has been made. So that includes everything from the very beginning till now. It's everything. Additionally here, think about this. If God created it, then only God could redeem it. So if God created it, only he could redeem it from the sin. So we know that Jesus did this. He lived on earth. His ministry was roughly 33 years long. But John gives us great insight here. It says he always was. He participated in creation. He always will be. So that's why our view of creation has to be sound. Our view of how things were created has to be sound. We can't believe, listen to me, you can't believe in Darwin's theory of evolution, that everything just came to be on its own, and be a follower of Christ. You have to understand that there's creation, that God created everything. You can't believe in that mess. Then if you do, then you're not believing in the Jesus of the Bible. That's important. This is important stuff. All right, so that brings us to the third thing here. What Tristan mentioned in the song, that he is the light and life, right? So he brings life. 36 times in the book of John, you see the word life. The Greek word, I'm going to try to pronounce it, it's Z-O-E. I'm sorry, Zoe, I believe, if that's right. In Greek, that is the word for life. Jesus provides physical, spiritual, eternal life. So without that, everything else is void, right? So we have a need. We have a need for that. We have a need. And here's the deal. A lot of times, guys, we try to fill the void that we have in our life with everything else but God's light. We try to fill it with things of this world, like how much money can I get? How much stuff can I get? That'll make me happy. If I get this, I'll be happy. If I can finally have this, I can be. Or if I get, man, that woman as a wife, I'd be happy. Or if I get that guy as a husband, I'll be happy. Or if I can get this or that. And we try to fill this void in our life. And you see this. I mean, we see this all over our country. You see this in Hollywood all the time. People think, if I can get enough. And coincidentally, some of those people are the most unhappiest people in the world, because they try to fill the void that only Jesus can fill, that he is the life and the light. And they try to fill it with everything else. Darkness, and their lives are just dark. So without light, Josh brought this up in Sunday school this morning. What happens if you don't have light? I mean, if we stopped having sunlight right now, what happens to everything? Dies. Everything's going to die. The grass is going to die. Our crops wouldn't grow. Everything's, and you even see this, and you know what? It happens. You even can become blind. You see this. If you ever go to caves, most cave animals that live in complete darkness are blind. They have no vision at all. Infants. Now, there's a theory out there, and I did some research on it this week, and it can't be proven true, so don't quote me on this, but it's been said that if you go into a dark cave and you live there for a number of weeks, that would make you blind because you have no light. That can't be proven, but what can be proven, if you take an infant, a newborn, and you never expose them to light, and you put them in darkness, guess what happens? They go blind. They never get vision. And guys, here's the transition here. That's exactly what is happening in our country right now and with the lost. They are becoming spiritually blind to the truth. They are just blinded by the darkness. That's what Romans says. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. There's a lot of verses here. I'm going to read some of them. I'll probably stop and talk a little bit about them. But Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. This is what it says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what is known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Now let me stop there. You know what that means? You know what those verses tell me right there? There is no thing as an atheist. Atheism doesn't exist. Because God has instinctively put it in their hearts. Now they can live in darkness long enough. And if you tell yourself a lie long enough, guess what you're going to do? You're going to start believing that lie. So if you suppress the truth long enough about who God is, you're going to believe it. You're going to start believing that lie. And that's exactly what they do. And guess what? They're without excuse. And this is what it says. Go to 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They were darkened. Guess what? They're blind. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. You know what he's talking about now? Idolatry. Now he's talking about they would make gods of false images of calves. Guess what? We don't see that a lot now in America. But you know what we do see? We make gods out of money. And we make gods out of power. And we make gods out of greed. And let me tell you this morning, anything that we put in God's place is idolatry. You're worshiping a false god. Now you may not bow down to it, but all your time is consumed by it. All your thoughts are consumed by it, so you're worshiping a false god. Instead of trusting in the one that Scripture says in John provides life and light, you become darkened and you start to trust another god. Therefore, this is what it says, verse 24. Now, guys, this is just a picture of what we see. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. So who are we supposed to worship there? The creator. Who's the creator? We just read it in John 1. Jesus. Jesus, he should get our worship. Jesus, not anything else, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For women exchanged natural relations for those who are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural relations for women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. You know what he's basically saying there? You want to be blind? I'll let you be blind. You want to live in darkness? You're going to get blinded to my truth. You can go live in darkness. And let me say, the longer that you live in darkness, the harder it is to see the light. The longer we live in darkness, the harder it is to see the light. That's why, listen, that's why I don't want to condone anything. I don't, whether the world says it's okay for one of my daughters to live with their boyfriend before they're married, I'm not going to say that. Because I don't want her to live in darkness. I'm not going to encourage that in the church. Because the longer you live in darkness, the farther you get away from Christ. So we need to encourage purity. We need to encourage that. We don't need to say it's okay. Listen, I know the church. I can sit up here and hammer all morning about homosexuality. And we're all going to agree on that. But there's one thing the church never puts her foot down on. And that's when people live together before they're married. Or commit adultery. Well, I mean, because we have people in the church doing that, so we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to offend anybody. No, I love them so much, I don't want them to live in darkness. I want them to live in light and light. If I'm living in darkness, I hope you guys love me enough to come to me and say, you're living in darkness. Stop. I hope you love me enough to do that. That's what Scripture says. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, he gave them up to live in darkness. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetous, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. Insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Oh, you know what that last verse is about? That means, listen, if I give approval to it, I'm just as bad. if I give approval to it, I'm just as bad. That's why the church can't give approval. I can't say it's okay. Listen, if Sierra, and I'm picking on Sierra, I don't mean to pick on Sierra. Sierra is not going to, I pray this doesn't happen. If Sierra come home to me and said, Dad, you know what, I'm not married and I'm having a baby. You know what, I'm going to be heartbroken. I'm going to love my daughter, but I'm not going to throw her a baby shower here at the church. I'm not going to condone bad behavior. I'm going to love her and I'm going to support her and I'm going to be there for her. Right, I'm sorry to pick on you this morning, sis, all right? But that's the truth, guys. We can't condone it. Now, we see this all over our country. We see this all over. And most of the time, guys, we can agree on certain things that are just wrong. But then we don't ever talk about idolatry or making your own Jesus fit into your life. Let me cover this today. January is Sanctity of Life Month, right? Shelley's going to be coming on the 21st. 21st, Shelly Jones, and making a presentation on Choices Pregnancy Center here in town. Right now, they are fighting abortion here in our town. That is something. Listen, I'll tell you, I told Shelly and I told some of our elders, I'm actually ashamed. I know we have people that volunteer at Choices, and I appreciate that. I'm actually ashamed that we have to have a Sanctity of Life Month in the church. That should be a given. It should be a given that the Christian church is supporting organizations that are fighting abortion. That shouldn't even be a question. We shouldn't even have to bring this up, guys. I'm just being serious. This is a basic principle that shouldn't even be debated. So today, here's the deal. I'm saying before the 21st, we need to be supporting them with our finances every single month, not just in January. This is something that we should be putting our money where our mouth is. We can say all day long, Christians, that we hate abortion, but if we're not doing anything to combat it, then we're wrong. Then we're wrong. We're wrong. So here's what I'm challenging us to do. I told her to drop these off this week. I'm never going to ask you guys to do something that I'm not willing to do. You know what these are? And Shelly's still going to come on the 21st. These are pledge cards. What these are cards where you can sign up every single month to Choices, to have money taken out of your checking account to be donated toward Choices. I'm telling you, I'm not going to tell you what I do every month, but I'm not going to ask you to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do. There's also a place on here where you can volunteer to go and serve. I'm going to challenge us this morning that Scripture says we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be the light of this earth. That when we have the Holy Spirit, we should be the light. I think, guys, that we need to make a decision as the Christian church in America who we're going to serve. We need to put our money where our mouth is. Joshua 24:15 says, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Jesus brings light. He brings us the light. And the light is living inside of us so that when we walk out into this world, we can shine bright for Him. So that our light, who is Christ, can shine. You can be that light. God's plan for humanity is even revealed here in John. We're created to have life and sustain because of what Jesus brings. Psalms 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. We are supposed to be the light of the world. If you have professed Christ as your Savior, let me ask you this morning, are you that light? Are you that light at work? Are you that light at school? Or am I accepting of things that I know are wrong? Am I that light combating things that, let me tell you, Christ hates? Scripture, he says he hates it. Am I the light? Or am I just one who will talk, will honor God with my lips, and yet my heart is far from him? Let me tell you, it's easy. It's easy to honor God in here. It's easy to honor him with my lips here. It's a lot harder to honor him out there when I walk outside of here. We're called to be the light out there. He lives inside of us. Listen, that's who God is. That's who, starting us off in the book of John, that's who he is. He's the beginning. He's the creator of everything. He is the Word. That's him. So my question, are you the light outside of here? And have you put your faith and trust in the one true God? Jesus is the creator of the universe. He is God in flesh. He is the light that darkness will never overcome. Maybe you're here today and you're living in darkness. You're living in darkness. You've been living in darkness for a long time. And your life is just in a mess because you're living in darkness. I would say today, step into the light. He's given you an opportunity to get in the light. Because the longer we continue to live in darkness, the blinder we get. Step into Christ's light. We're going to have an invitation this morning. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. This morning, are you just giving Jesus lip service? Is it just all right here? Yeah, we don't like abortion. We don't like the... Guys, we can literally make a difference in our community. We can make a difference. You say, oh, we can't change it. Yes, we can. If we get together, yes, we can. We can change it. You can make a difference today. Step into the light. Step into the light. Hey, what I want you to do this morning is I want you to pray about this. I don't want you to come up here and grab some card and make some commitment because you think, well, he's guilted me into doing it this morning. No, I don't want you to do that. I want you to come up here and pray about this and say, can I do something? Hey, is it $5 a month? That'd be $5 a month more going to abortion than what we against abortion than what we had before. Maybe it's 25, I don't know. But I want you to pray about this. How can I make a difference? How can I make a difference? How can I make a difference? Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your word. God, I thank you that you sent your son in flesh to live and die for us. Today, we have a decision to make on who we're going to serve. I just don't want to give you lip service today, God. I want to show by my actions that I trust you, that I've put my faith in you, that I believe in you. Father, let us today not just be men and women of lip service, but let this body make a difference today for you. Let us be the salt of the earth. Let us be the light for you when we leave here today. It's in Jesus' most holy and powerful name that I pray. Amen. If you would stand this morning. Holy, holy is he. Amen. Ashton, you want to come up here? This young lady, I had a chance to talk to her this morning at Tryston. I also want to get all of our youth group, I want you to come up here. And Tryston, the youth leaders, I want you to come up here. Sam, Kathy, I want you guys to come up here. You want Paula? Paula, come on up here. She wants you up here. Me and Tryston had a chance to visit with her this morning, and she had questions about her faith and salvation in Christ, and we left her on a good note. She came in later and talked to Paula and is making a profession of faith in Christ this morning. So the reason why I brought all these fine young people, including Tryston up here, and Sam and Kathy, is because when we have a new follower of Christ, it's our job to help them grow in their faith and to hold them accountable. And I want you to look around and see that all these people are going to be there for you and help you and teach you and train you. And that's what being brothers and sisters in Christ is about. So I'm very proud of you. We'll schedule a baptism day, possibly next week or the week after, whenever you guys want to do that. The river, if it's in the river, I know that the youth pastors for sure are going to be doing that baptism. So I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. I want to close with our benediction today, and it's Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to pray for her as she grows in faith, and she's a light wherever she goes. We're going to hold you accountable. They're going to hold you accountable. You're going to hold them accountable as brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's what it's about. So, Tryson, I'm going to ask if you close us in prayer this morning.